You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Derek Larson. He's an artist living and working in Georgia. Derek, thanks so much for being with us today.
Hey, Brainerd. Thanks for having me.
So to begin with, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's happening in the studio now? I know a show just came down. Is that correct?
Yeah, this fall I've had three shows, and right now I'm getting ready for my first show in New York at Meyer and Pollard in the Lower East Side, and it goes up mid-December. So right now I'm in my studio at the Vermont Studio Center. I just arrived a couple of days ago, and I'm getting some projections ready for that show at the moment. So I think I'll, around the 12th, I'll go down and install three video projections.
That sounds really exciting. I mean, your first New York show is a big deal. You're not represented by a gallery at this time?
I'm not, no. I've been in talks with John Pollard there, and he had something open up and asked me to fill in the slot, and I'm pretty excited about it.
It is exciting. That's a nice gallery, a very nice space. So let me ask you, in coming up with what you're putting together for this show, what are you thinking, and what kind of a show are you putting together? Are you thinking that I'd like to hear about the aesthetics of it and the theme, but also are you thinking that there's something particularly saleable in there or not, or does that matter to you?
Well, I've wanted over the last few months to make these more portable. For a while, I was making these projections that seemed to be built for a space. You know, they were pretty custom to the space they were in. And they didn't have a very long life after that, wherever they were shown. So I'm now trying to think of them as, you know, standalone, and what I'm putting into the show coming up, I think of them more as paintings. So I've got two wall pieces and a kind of a central floor piece. And I'm also using more permanent materials. So I'm instead of using foam core and wood, I'm using this aluminum composite sign material that you can use to make outdoor signs. So the materials are also a little more permanent. And so, you know, I'm thinking of them as objects and, you know, yeah.
Right. So those pieces could be sold individually. They are sort of, you know, a type of living painting, as you're saying, on the wall. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're set up in a way where the wall pieces do require a pedestal that sits about, you know, 10 feet away. But I have them rigged up in a way where they're motion activated, and they could sit dormant in a gallery space or wherever, and they're motion activated. So it's, in a way, I think it's, I'm thinking about these living in other spaces. So, you know, typical to like how a painting might just hang. So they're a little, you know, they're unconventional in a way, because they require this, you know, this added element to project onto the paintings. But yeah, I think of them as paintings, and I think they could act in the same way, you know.
Yeah, I think they can too. Have you sold pieces like that in the past? Do you see them as saleable as they are?
Yeah, I have. And I haven't been doing these shaped projections for very long, just a couple years. And I sold a show in New Orleans to the New Orleans Museum of Art, and they purchased three of these projections, and each of them, you know, each piece was about 4 by 8 feet, so they're pretty big. So, you know, I've been scaling them down and trying to get them a little, you know, more manageable for, you know, if an individual is interested. It's not such a giant, you know, piece. It's right now I'm kind of in the ballpark area of, you know, 3 by 4 feet or 3 by 3 feet.
That sounds exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing that show. Let's go back a little bit now. At the beginning of your career, how way back to when you were maybe a kid, I don't know what it was, 10, 12, or whatever you remember. Do you remember how you got involved in or interested in art making or just art in general?
Well, you know, I did a lot of drawing and painting when I was a kid. I think a lot of kids do. And then when I was actually about 11 or 12, I started making these stop-motion videos with, you know, real basic VHS camcorders. And I did that for a while. And then in high school, I started painting again. There was a period where, you know, I wasn't painting for a while. But in high school, I started painting and got back into it seriously at that point.
And what kind of stop motion did you make? I mean, that sounds like fun, and there's a certain, you know, with apps like Vine, I don't know if you've seen it, there's a kind of a lot of stop motion coming back now. What were those stop motion experiments like? Were they just...
Well, they were, to be honest, they were mostly, you know, like G.I. Joe's in the yard, you know, Batman figures. I remember I had a Batman figure, and I had a little brother. I still do, but at the time he was little. So I'd just, you know, gather up his toys and do these really, you know, basic narratives with figures fighting in the yard or, you know, running around the kitchen.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. I remember making, yeah, some work like that myself, and that is the beginning of not just like an interest in cinema, because suddenly, you know, stop motion looks wowing, you know, even on these short 6-second vines, when people have little cars or flowers zooming all over the room, it's sort of the awe of just moving images, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, and I think that handmade quality I'm trying to bring into my work now, you know, I'm using video elements in the projections, but I'm also hand drawing and animating and using some three-dimensional animation techniques. And, you know, I think right now the artist, Allison Schulnick, does a really good job at this, you know, stop-motion quality with this painterly detail. So, you know, you can get into her work like you would a painting, you know.
Right. And so let's go. So you went through undergraduate school painting as well. Were you majoring in art then?
Yeah, I was a painter and a sculptor at Heron, which is an art school in Indianapolis. And so I kind of, you know, I was doing a lot. And then at the end, I started showing videos and animations to the painters and the sculptors, and just kind of, I was trying at that time to really synthesize everything I had my hands on, and it seems like I'm still in that kind of way, you know. I'm still, when I'm sculpting, I'm thinking about painting. When I'm animating, I'm thinking about painting, and then when I'm painting, I'm thinking about, you know, sculpture and relief and painting on pedestals and projecting onto objects. So it seems like I'm still, you know, playing with these formal ideas that I was, you know, 10 years ago.
That's interesting. And then after graduate school, what happened? You have an MFA, you're now an artist that's been through a number of things. Did you leave graduate school thinking differently about yourself as an artist?
Yeah, well, you know, I went to Yale in New Haven, and it's a great program. It, you know, exposes you to a lot of visiting artists, and that's, I think, its biggest advantage. So we had a lot of visitors coming up from New York, and that made me, you know, seeing these people and how they carry out their practice and how they were in a conversation helped me, I think, place myself somewhere. And at the time, I decided to, right after grad school, I moved up to Vermont, and I was teaching up there. And it was nice. It was, and I'm sitting here in Vermont talking to you. It was nice. It was kind of like a 2-year residency when I was in Vermont. And then after that, I moved to Florida to teach. And then now I'm in Georgia. I've been there for 2 years. So, you know, I enjoy it because it gives me a lot of time to be in the studio, and, you know, it pays the bills. So it's a good thing for me at the moment.
The teaching pays the bills, you mean?
Yeah, it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah. And but you're outside of most major city centers. Does that seem okay to you? That's worked out fine. Some people seem to struggle with that as an artist, but it seems that you've had a lot of different shows, and that doesn't seem to be as much of a problem for you.
It's a major problem. You know, I mean, if I were to live in New York, I'd have more opportunities, I would think, you know. But I'm trying to, you know, make the best situation that I can and stay in contact with people. But on the other hand, you know, being away from a major hub can be a benefit. You know, you can get a lot of work done. Your studio rent is cheap. You can, you know, visit New York or LA or Chicago and kind of overdose, you know, for a weekend on what's available and go back and do your thing, you know. So there are ways you can do it well, you know, living in, you know, say Atlanta or living in some other city that's got an art scene. You know, I've been up to Atlanta a few times, and I'm pretty impressed by it, actually. There's a pretty vibrant scene happening, and you can get to know everybody. So, you know, it can really serve you well.
Right, and in this because the scale is a little bit easier to approach than, say, New York, Chicago, or L.A.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You've had a lot of exhibits. I mean, in 2010, 11, and 12, you know, there's at least a dozen exhibits every year, some in nonprofit centers and others. And they're all over the state. Some of them are in Europe. How did you manage all those shows? How did those come to you, or how did you get those shows?
Well, it's a real, you know, mix of opportunities. So some are academic and offered through just friends and other opportunities. You know, say a friend is curating a show in Tennessee or something at a university. Some of the opportunities are presented to me, and some are out of the blue, and I don't know how they're happening, honestly. I'll get contacted through maybe, you know, somebody who has seen video online on through like a Vimeo account. And some of them are really not such a burden, or, you know, they're not a giant undertaking because, you know, somebody might just be requesting a video from me, and that's very easy to do. So I can just kind of, you know, ship something that just takes very little effort, as opposed to, you know, setting up these projections in a room, which is usually requires me being there and doing, you know, 2 days of preparation. So, you know, if it were always these projections, I wouldn't be able to do a dozen shows in a year. You know, it'd be a lot of work.
Yeah, that is a lot of work. Well,
Yeah.
and you've also applied for a lot of grants, right? It's you've gotten over, I don't know, at least about a dozen grants or awards. Are you applying for that all the time, or are you very active in the nonprofit world of galleries?
I haven't been applying to, I'm not very good at finding these opportunities, honestly. This year though, I was a finalist for this prize in Georgia. It's called the Hudgens Prize, which is a great, opportunity and a, an institution in the north side of Georgia where every 2 years they have artists from all over the state apply for this prize. And as one of the final, they choose four finalists and you're in this 3 month long exhibition. It was really great. It was a way for me to meet tons of people in Atlanta and get familiar with the scene there. And then again, at the Vermont Studio Center where I'm at right now, I was offered a fellowship through the David Berman Foundation. And it would seem like maybe that I'm, you know, that's a regular thing that I do is, you know, apply to these grants. But because of these opportunities this year, maybe I'll start doing that. I don't know. I mean, I haven't been very good about it.
But I mean you've done yeah, well, you can always apply for more, but like the Hudgens Prize, was that something you applied for or you were just nominated? How did that work?
That is actually something I applied for. I saw something posted in Atlanta on one of my trips and decided that, you know, this sounds great. It sounds amazing. I mean, it's a $50,000 prize. I didn't win it, which, you know, is kind of heartbreaking, but the overall experience was great. So I'd recommend anybody to do that. Yeah.
Is that's a local prize for Atlanta or that's a national prize?
It is for the state of Georgia.
Oh, the state of Georgia.
Yeah, so I would say, you know, probably the majority of those applying was in Atlanta, you know.
But the David Berman Foundation, who gave you the fellowship for Vermont, you're in the Vermont studio. That's a residency there, isn't it? The Vermont studio program?
It is. Yep, I'm here for a month through the end of December. I just arrived and it's pretty great. You know, they feed you good food and everybody's got some great looking studios and you know, all the tools and anything you need, wood shop, metal shop. So it's a pretty good setup up here, yeah.
And that was the David Berman though, that's a fellowship that was that came to you, or that's also something to apply for.
That is also, you can apply for fellowships, I think at the beginning of every year, at the Vermont Studio Center. So I applied for that, as well, about a year ago, maybe.
Yeah, it seems like a wonderful place there, because of the community of artists. How important is and how has that played a role in your art or art making, the community of friends and artists that are around you? You've mentioned it a couple times, and I imagine that's a big part of what supports you artistically. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I've moved around a lot. So I started out in Seattle. That's where I'm from. And I was kind of meandering around after high school and ended up at Heron in Indianapolis for 4 years and then at Yale for 2 years. And then I moved up to Vermont, to Georgia, or to Florida, then to Georgia. I've done a few residencies, and you know, at all of these places, you meet somebody, usually who you stay in touch with. And at the moment, I'm collaborating with a guy in Georgia, one of my colleagues. He's a painter, and we have studios across the street from each other, and it's cool. So, having somebody come in and having an ongoing conversation, these things are, I think, pretty important. You know, they get you out of any automatic thinking that might be going on, you know.
Let's talk about that a little bit. You're talking about, you know, you're have a studio near someone else, and you come into each other's studio and you sit there and you talk about art together. That's what you're essentially saying, right? And talking about what each one of you is doing.
Yeah. And, you know, in doing that, it changes a lot of our work, and his paintings and my paintings have changed quite a bit over the last year. And I think it's due to our regular scheduled visits, you know. It's been really good. It feels like an extension of grad school, where you have all this time and you have, people who are kind of into the same things that you're into, dropping in and taking a look, and it's good.
Well, that seems like it would happen more in a situation like, excuse me, it seems like that would happen more in a situation like a residency creates, or having a studio not alone in the middle of nowhere, but a studio that's connected to other studios, so you're it's kind of an instant community.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would prefer that, and that's been hard to find where I've been teaching, you know, following work. But absolutely, that community setting definitely it exists everywhere. And, you know, I mentioned Atlanta. Atlanta has a really strong art scene, and it's pretty accessible, and seems like most people know everybody else. And I guess where I'm at right now, I'm kind of creating this tiny version, you know, with this guy that I'm working with right now, with the studio close to mine. But it's also the reason I think that I'm in Vermont. You know, it's always good to get a fresh look, you know.
Yeah, fresh look at your work, and you mean a new eyes, a new conversation with other people. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So what's next? I mean, as you're putting together this show, what are you thinking about as you're putting together the show, and how is your work moving? Like, in what direction, really? I know you're doing these kind of projections for the show in New York. How does that depart from other work, and what's kind of the thinking process behind that?
Well, I want these to really be paintings. You know, I guess I'm always trying to hint at the fact that, you know, I'm creating these video paintings, these animated paintings that are, you know, projections on to actual paint. And so for this show, I'm thinking about really, you know, I'm going back like 50 years, and I'm thinking about action painting and Morris Lewis and Frankenthaler and these kind of pours and drips, and trying to recreate some of that in the animation, so that I'm getting this feeling of like digital drip and actual. So I'm combining this like dying canvas on video with hand-drawn animation. So I just want these to be color and to be painting in action, you know.
Oh, that's exciting. That sounds like video has this
I don't know. I guess issue, so to speak, of being having a very flat surface, an almost cold surface, and you're bringing a literal surface to it that's much more sensual and literally painterly, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to maybe play with the idea that, you know, you could make an original or a singular video piece, you know, this video object, you know, because most people who make video, they typically have difficulty selling their work because it's, you know, you can just reproduce it like nothing, you know. So these videos are, I think, really trying to be objects, and so I'm looking at, surface and toying with the idea that these pixelated colors are also brushstrokes or, you know, handmade, you know.
Hmm. Yeah, it sounds beautiful. It sounds beautiful. I'm looking forward to that show.
Cool.
And then as you grow into the future, how do you imagine your career evolving? Is it important that you're represented and make sales, or is that not as important to you right now, or whether it is or not? I mean, I'd like to know. But how do you imagine things unfolding, ideally?
I really don't know, honestly. I don't have a problem with selling work. I'm not a purist. I'm not trying to be in the woods, you know. I'm not trying to be hard to get or anything. It's just how my circumstance has been. So whatever it takes, you know, whatever keeps me busy, I'm happy to do. And, you know, I hope to support myself doing this. So, you know, it's hard to predict the future, and it's especially hard to navigate a career and you know, so many elements go into it that are a bit of luck and skill and, you know, being at the right place. So I just hope I stay busy, you know.
Right. Well, it sounds like you are, and that things are going well, and especially the show in New York sounds very exciting for you.
Yeah,
and especially since you're traveling around, how did that show come about?
Well, I've been talking to John for a while, and I think he wanted to take a little gamble on me, and I hope it goes well.
Yeah, I hope it does too. I really appreciate talking with you today, Derek. I'll put a link into the show because it should be up about the time this is aired. Is there anything you want to say in closing? There's artists listening to this that are, you know, thinking about their own career, and they're at all different levels. Is there anything you want to say in closing to the listeners about studio process or just making work in general?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really have any sage advice, but, you know, I think if you stay busy and you have friends or, you know, people nearby who are willing to talk to you about your work, then you're pretty lucky.
Derek, thanks so much for talking with us today. I appreciate your time and this conversation.
Thanks, me too. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.